We live, we love, we serve.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It is an incredible spirit of worship in this place, and you guys worship with reckless abandon. We bless God for it. James chapter 1, for those of you who have a device, a Bible, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 2, familiar text. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. Every head bowed. God, how we thank you for what eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have felt already in this place. Certainly, God, we know that your presence is here, that you're moving even now from person to person, situation to situation. We feel your spirit in this place. We've come now to the preaching hour. And so, God, we ask you even now, Holy Spirit, have your way. Move how you want to move. Do what you want to do. And I declare even right now before heaven and before men that nobody gets the glory or the honor or the praise but you. Thank you for being our God. And oh God, how we thank you today for allowing us to be called your children. Bless my neighbor. I speak life over my neighbor even right now. I speak joy and hope over my neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. As you take your seats, I want to talk to you from this idea for the time we have remaining. I want to talk from this idea. Keep going. Yeah, encourage somebody next to you. Tell them, keep going. Keep going. I gotta say this at the onset, your music ministry is absolutely incredible and par excellence. Bless God. My brother Dante and the crew back there, y'all doing the thing, man. Max Licato tells a story about a parakeet named Chippy. Chippy, the parakeet, never saw it coming, y'all. One second, he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next, he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage, and then the phone rang. And she turned to pick it up, and she'd barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird on the gas put down the phone, turned off the vacuum cleaner, and opened the bag. Yes, young people, there were vacuum cleaners that had bags in them one day. And there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed Chippy and raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water. And then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted poor Chippy with hot air. And Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who initially covered the story and this event about Chippy contacted Chippy's owner to find out how the bird was recovering. Well, she said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits and stares. And really, it's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the strongest heart. Yet the woman did not report that the bird had lost his ability to sing. The bird, whether he knew it or not, had simply made a choice. And here it is. Not a question of if, but when. James, the brother of Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes of Israel that have been scattered in the diaspora, starts this letter by letting us know right at the onset that life for all of us will not always be a bed of roses. Somebody say amen. Before he writes about any other things and concerns in this particular letter, he wants them and us by extension to understand, beloved, that trials, tests, and troubled days are definitely coming our way. And it's really not a question of if they're going to show up. It's a reality of when they come. And I suspect that most of us in this room today who have been on this human journey for any length of time can testify that James is absolutely correct. Anybody in the building or online today can testify that you've had some dark days and some sleepless nights. Anybody in the building or in line can testify that you've had some days when the food had lost its flavor and you found yourself staring off into the void trying to figure out what's going to go wrong next. Am I in the right building today? Like Chippy, you may have been minding your own self's business and then you were sucked up and washed over and blown away. And listen, beloved, if you haven't been there yet, God bless you. But like grandmama said, just keep living, baby. Because here's the reality. Tests and trials and tribulations are a necessary part of the human experience. I don't care how big your cross is on your chest. I don't care how many scriptures you know or don't know. Whether you pray in the morning or in the evening or five times a day, or you super saved and you pray without ceasing. The reality is Jesus said that it rained on the just and the unjust. The reality is it's gonna rain. Touch your neighbor. Say it's gonna rain. Tragedies and death and sickness and setbacks and disappointments and delays and accidents and evil ploys, unstable people, toxic people, bad relationships are all a part of the human experience. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, you're gonna help somebody because they in need, but when you in need, they gonna act like they don't know. Am I talking to anybody in here? There's gonna be some seasons when you got it and you show up for folk, but if you dial a number, you're going to get that familiar voice message that says, I'm so sorry I'm not able to answer the phone, right? But please leave a message. And now, anybody in here ever got a text message where you needed, somebody needed $25 on a Zelle? You didn't even know how to use Zelle. You had to go register and put in a phone number and wait for the text message to come back. I wish I had about 8 folk who knew what I was talking about. And you finally, it took you 10 minutes to send 20. You could have walked over to their house and gave them the $25, but you did it. You Zelled them that money. And then 2 weeks later, because you know people get paid on the 15th and the 30th. Y'all talking to me, y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Shoot that over to me. And as soon as I get my check, I'm going to send that right. Okay, I'm talking to the wrong group. And then 2 weeks later, come by and it's gone, and you looking at your phone to see if you got a message. And then Friday go by, and then Saturday go by, and then Sunday. I wish I had about 8 people who knew what I was talking about in here. And when you text them, yo, you remember you supposed to send that back? They like, oh man, I forgot. Let me tell you, I spent that on shoes and a purse and a pocketbook and a new outfit, and we went out to this place. But let you need $10. When you need it, they become the grand inquisitor of your life choices for the last year and a half. Trials and tribulations are going to come your way. Jesus said, listen, he said it like this. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Think it not strange, Peter says, concerning the fiery trials that come to test you as something strange has happened to you. I need y'all to understand this, beloved. This is so important. Having difficult times don't make you special. They make you human. Everybody's going to go through it at some point or another. Everybody is going to have a difficult season at some point or another. Everybody is going to have moments when getting out of the bed is the most difficult thing that you do all day at some point or another. But the reality is that you're having a human experience that Jesus said, no matter who you are, it's going to happen. But here's the reality that difficult seasons don't come to stay. Okay, y'all added 30 seconds to this thing. One of the mistakes that we make as believers is when we're going through it, one, we act like we're the only person that's going through it. Two, we act like this season is never going to end. The Bible says that those things come to pass. They did not come to stay. And so even if you're in the middle of a bad season right now, can I help somebody real quick? That if you weigh across the existence of your life, all of your bad seasons still don't add up to all of your good seasons. Songwriter put it this way, I've had some bad days. And I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and I think things over, what's he say? All of my good days outweigh my bad days. And so even when I'm in a bad season, I gotta wave my hand and say, thank you, Lord. I won't complain because it will not always be like this. Listen, I just want to get us all on the same page. Bad things are going to happen. Tragedies are going to happen. Issues are going to arise. And sometimes they come at the most inopportune moment. They come when we don't see them coming. James says it like this. He says, I want y'all to understand, talking to the 12 tribes who are scattered out into the diaspora, which means they're everywhere. They are not centrally located. This letter travels. He's giving good instruction to people who are in bad situations, because at this particular point, those people who are called followers of the way, I know y'all know this language already, but for the three people who ain't heard this before, they were in trouble. They were hiding out. They were worshiping in the bottom of caves under the threat of death. And James sends them this letter to say, listen, y'all, it ain't gonna always be like this. But the good news is there is some things that you're gonna get in difficult seasons like this that you will not get if difficult seasons never show up. Can I show them to you? Then I take my seat. Here it is. He says, the testing of your faith produces patience. That's what y'all books say? Patience, beloved, teaches me how to wait on God. But the reality is it simply teaches me how to wait. The problem with a lot of us, those of us who have grown up in this postmodern generation, is you know what we don't know how to do? Oh, y'all ready? Y'all ready? We don't know how to wait for nothing. We are so bad at waiting that we've created ways to not have to wait. But the reality is, the only way you develop patience is to wait. Like now, for example, you're waiting for me to say something next. Because Sharon, here's the thing. Sometimes God is making us wait so we can learn how to wait without an attitude. I was at the chiropractor the other day. I walked in and I sat down. I was waiting for my turn. Then another guy walked in. Then another sister walked in. And so we were all sitting there waiting. There's one chiropractor back there. Sister doing best she can, right? She's working on somebody, doing a consultation. And y'all know consultations can be kind of slow. And so I was sitting there looking at my phone. And guy, he was started pacing and huffing. And then the lady was on the phone. And she turned around. And she said, is it usually this slow in here? Now, I got to tell y'all. We had been waiting for about 3 minutes. And she started listing out all the stuff she had to do and all the reasons why she couldn't wait and all the things she couldn't wait on and all of this stuff. And so finally, I said, well, we haven't really been waiting that long. You know, we just one chiropractor back there. And so, you know, we just kind of got to wait on the chiropractor. She was like, well, if I'd have known it was going to take this long, I wouldn't have came in here today. And I'm thinking to myself, but you're the one who came into the place because you need something done for you. Y'all gonna get this thing. And now you mad because you came to get something and get a service provided, but it ain't happening fast enough for you because there's other people who also need this service. Perhaps the issue with some of us is that we are in this waiting season because God wants you to learn that even though God can do everything at the same time, sometimes you just ain't next in line. And if you don't learn how to celebrate when the person in front of you gets served, oh, I got you now. If the only person you can shout for is yourself, then that's a poor. Waiting helps us learn how to wait on the Lord, right? Let me tell you how impatient we are. Now, I'm team iPhone. I got to tell y'all, I'm team iPhone. I'm praying for the rest of y'all. I'm team iPhone. But let me tell you what drives me crazy. What drives me crazy is like when I text my children, because everybody in my house got an iPhone. I'm paid for them by an iPhone, right? I text them, and y'all know what happens? Them three dots show up, and then they go away, and then they show up again, and then they go away. And I'm asking myself, how much thought does it take for you to show up with a response? Right? But it's because we're in this generation that does not know how to wait. And God is trying to help us understand that some of the deliverances and some of the things that God wants for your life and for my life require us to wait on God. It's not that God is forgotten. It's not that God doesn't care. But the reality is that we have to learn to be in the right position so that when God shows up, we're ready to handle and deal with whatever God provides. David wrote it this way in Psalms 40. He said, listen, I waited patiently for the Lord. He said, because I waited for the Lord, when the Lord showed up, he inclined his ear to me. In other words, God bent himself from where God was to come to me and hear my cry and pull me out of a murky place, out of a bad situation. Isaiah said it this way. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The old deacon said it this way. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. Right? And even though God doesn't show up when we want God to show up all the time, can I get 10 people who can declare that whenever God shows up, God always shows up on time? It may not look like what you thought it was going to be. It may not feel like what you thought it was going to be. You wouldn't have been able to script it the way God showed up. But God always shows up on time.
Patience teaches us how to wait. But here's what this text is really saying. This text really isn't saying much about waiting. This text in James, the Greek of this particular patience, the understanding of it is about learning how to remain under pressure. It's where we get our word endurance, right? It says, James is saying, listen, the tests and trials of your life will come and God will pull us out of some of them, but some stuff God ain't pulling you out of. God's going to give you what you need to stay in it. Okay, I see why y'all didn't shout, right? Because we expect God to take us out of every difficult situation. I stopped by to tell you, some things are not going to go away. Some sicknesses, you're going to live with them for the rest of your life. There are going to be some issues in your house, in your family, in your life, in your spirit that you will battle for the rest of your life. Paul said, I went to the Lord 3 times and asked the Lord to take this thorn out of my side. 3 times, Paul talked to the Lord about it. Said, Lord, if you love me, take the thorn out. Lord, if you're with me like you say you are, take the thorn out. God, if you really, you took me to the third heaven and I saw languages and I saw things that I had never seen. Surely you've got enough power to take this thorn out of my side. And God said, I ain't taking the thorn out of your side. Quit asking me about it. The answer is no. I will not remove this hardship, but what I will do is give you enough grace and enough mercy to be sufficient for you to be able to carry through and live through whatever it is you're facing in your life. Let me do it like this and I get out your way. I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, help me understand how I can explain this to your folks today so that we can understand what it means to remain under pressure, under difficult situations and circumstances. How do we endure? The Lord gave me this example. I'll share it with you, and then I'm going to take my seat. That water wasn't for dramatic. I really did just want some water. Manteo Mitchell. Olympic Games 2012 in London. Y'all know the Olympics are coming up. Manteo Mitchell at that time, 2012, he was a 25-year-old 4x400 sprinter from Carlisle, North Carolina. 2012 Olympics. Those of you who don't know this, the 4x400 is one person going around the track one time, all the way around the track. One time, hand the baton to the next man or woman, and then they run around the track. One time, 4 times. That's a lot of running. His job was to run lead. Watching them get ready to go, they go through who's going to run second, who's going to run third, who's going to run anchor. He gets in the blocks. As they're talking about him getting in the blocks, they were saying he's been training for this day. He's been working for this day. He said he trained 4 years, 6 days a week. Prior to this day, every day, rain, snow, sleet, hail, 6 days a week, 4 years to get to this moment. Get to this moment, and he starts out of the blocks, and at 100 meters, he said his leg felt strange. He said at 200 meters, he felt his leg break. He said, my leg broke at 200 meters. Now, listen, I don't care how much I trained. Okay, y'all not going to be honest today. But let me just talk about Darren. If Darren's leg breaks, the race is over. Sorry, y'all. See you in 4 years. I got a broken leg. His leg breaks at 200 meters, and he keeps running. Now, I had to go to YouTube because I, like you, wanted to see this man's leg break and how he was able to keep running. Y'all get this thing, we go home. He starts out of the blocks, He's running at 100 meters, his leg breaks. I mean, he feels something strange. At 200 meters, he reported that at the 200 meter mark, his leg broke. Now, I'm watching it on YouTube. Y'all watch it when y'all get home. Mantell's leg breaks at 200 meters, but he doesn't break stride. I need y'all to see it. He don't break stride even though his leg broke. He's running. And so I'm looking at him. I'm looking at 200 meter. And at 200 meters, his leg breaks. I know it's going to break because he's already said it. But it don't look like it broke. At 300 meters, I said, surely he's going to start limping. Nope. 300 meters, he's running like he was running at 100 meters. He crosses the finish line. And that's when he starts hopping. It's interesting. It's interesting, beloved. It's interesting. When they interviewed him later, they said, the reason why I didn't stop running, even though I knew my leg broke, is because I understood that this moment wasn't just about me. He said, it wasn't just my race, but there are three other people who are depending on me that even though bad stuff has happened, I've got to endure this moment so that I can get the baton to the next man, so he can get the baton to the next man, so that he can get the baton to the next man. I need y'all to see this thing. All I'm trying to help you understand is that, beloved, bad things are going to happen. But when they happen, you've got to make up in your mind that you're going to keep going. When they interviewed him later, they said, how was it that you were able to survive? He said, I survived because 4 years, 6 days a week, let me tell you, I had already been through some hernias. I'd been through a pulled hamstring. I had been through some pain. I had been through all kinds of stuff working 4 years, 6 days a week. He said, and I understood that if I could survive that stuff, then I could survive this moment right here. Come here, beloved. I'm going to my seat. Is there anybody in here who can make up in your mind right now that no matter what happens, you're going to keep going? I dare you. Tell your neighbor. Encourage your neighbor. Say, neighbor, bad stuff going to happen, but keep going. Tears in your eyes, but keep going. Body rock with pain, but keep going. When nobody else understands, keep going. When you don't understand, keep going. When folk laugh at you, keep going. When people quit on you, keep going. When it doesn't make sense, keep going. When your friends walk away, is there anybody in here who understands that God has put something inside of you? That if you survived all the stuff you've been through, you can make it through this season right here. Now, listen, I'm done, y'all, but I gotta tell y'all this is crazy. As you're watching him run, the commentators are talking about Mantell, right? And this is what the commentators are saying. We can't believe he ran such a slow split. Now, mind you, he ran a 46-second split on a broken leg. These two old commentators who couldn't run 46 seconds from their chair to the door got the nerve, y'all gotta hear it. They like, well, you know, the U.S. ought to replace him. I can't believe he ran so slow. The expectations were so high. They don't know that he's running on a broke leg. And here's what I'm trying to help folk understand. Will you please stop judging other people? Because you don't know what they're going. They look like they running without pain. They look like they doing all right. They look like they got it all together. But baby, if you only understood what it took them to get to church today, you wouldn't judge they shout, because you don't know the hell I went through to get from my house to the church house. The Bible says that when you get here, this is a place of celebration and freedom, not judgment. The reality is that you ought to worship God. Because some of us are doing everything we can to stay in the fight. They had no idea what he was navigating as he ran. But here's the thing, y'all, I'm done. I know preachers say it all the time, but I mean it this time. I'm done. If he quits there, the U.S. doesn't qualify for the medal run on Friday. If he quits where he is, then he doesn't get to run for, or his team doesn't get to run for, the thing that they've worked for all of these years. I need somebody to understand. I understand that you're in the place where you want to give up. But can I tell you, generations unborn are depending on you to stay in the race. Your children's children's children, some of whom you will never meet, and some of those names, they will never know yours. But they gonna make it because you did not quit. I was sitting down there, and my sister, who came to welcome us, she came and she was talking about her son, her 14-year-old son, who folks said he wasn't gonna be able to read, wasn't gonna be able to write, that you better prepare to be a caregiver for him for the rest of his life. And I was doing my best not to jump up in my seat and run around this church, because I too have a son who the doctors said you should probably consider aborting him. I need y'all to see this thing. Because of the issues and the struggles that you're gonna have with him, we believe you got one healthy son. Don't worry about you. Sometimes you just gotta deal with the one son you have. And my wife, who is a prayer warrior and a samurai and a ninja, she said to that doctor, she said, "You don't understand the God we serve." I said, "Oh." And let me tell you something. That boy was born at 4 months. He had open heart surgery. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to crawl. Had to learn how to walk. And let me tell you, my wife quit her job, the one that paid her. Quit her job and worked with that boy. She became a therapist. She watched what they was doing. She went home. She bought all the stuff, and she was doing it at home. And I was like, "I don't know if this is going to work." And she looked at me and said, "You must not know the God we serve." And can I tell you, as I go to my seat, can I go? He's 21 years old today. He's a student at University of Maryland, Eastern Shore. We just came back from being on a cattle ranch for the last week. He plays the guitar. He taught himself the bass. He's learning the piano. I don't know any of that stuff, but I know this. When I asked him about was he saved, he said, "I gave my heart, the reconstructed one, back to God a long time ago." And so can I say this to you, my sister? It is no secret what God can do, because what God has done for others, he'll do for you. I'm going to my seat, but is there anybody in the building who can open up your mouth and give God praise? Because if God did it for me, God will do it for you. Somebody shout yes. High five your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, keep going." Say, "Neighbor, keep going. Keep going. Even if they laugh at you, keep going. When you don't understand, keep going. Because he who has begun a good work will see it until the end day of his appearing." Somebody give God a great praise.